You stupid!
Corporal Janice would have been furious with herself for not remembering that the barrier status lights showed clearly on the board if she'd been able to think. A savage kick in the ribs curled her around the pain.
Please, 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 let it work. Let someone be alive there, awake.
Now two of them were on her. One of them kicked savagely at her arms, her ribs. It hurt more than she'd expected, and more noise. She couldn't think why it would be so noisy.
If they were going to make up with you, why would they shoot you?
She hardly noticed the blows had ceased. Then it was quiet again. She wanted to flinch away, but couldn't move.
I think she's alive.
Janice opened the eye that would open and saw what she had hoped to see. Shipmates, armed, and just beyond them, a blood-horde corpse. She smiled.
They're trying to get through the barrier up on deck 17. They got the core side barrier open, but the interlock we put on the wing side barrier's holding.
Are they really committed?
Oh, it sounds like it.
Then I think it's time for Brother Ass and the Cactus Patch.
Excuse me?
Folktale from my home planet, slightly revised. As long as we provide enough resistance, they'll be sure we didn't want them there. Only we do want them there because it's our trap.
How long do we make them wait?
Long enough to...
Sweeza!
Yes?
Our people have the bridge. The barriers are operable on the old override codes.
Esme swung back to her comm unit. If they knew they'd lost the bridge, they might not come into the trap.
Now. Let them in now. Be sure to lock the gate behind them once they're onto another deck.
By all combat logic, they should be hoping to clear T4 from the top down. If they found the top deck empty, they should go looking for resistance. The scan techs had installed additional surveillance near the hatch and in the passages beyond. Esme watched as the hatch slid aside. The Bloodhorde commandos still wore their fleet uniforms, now bloodstained and filthy, under light armor they'd stolen from the ship security. Helmets and respirators. They couldn't be gassed, but the respirators were noisy enough to affect their hearing. The helmets were supposed to compensate with boosted sensitivity, but that had its shortcomings. They each carried several weapons, the light arms intended to suppress shipboard violence.
They're outnumbered, but we're still outgunned.
Guns aren't the ultimate weapon.
Would they choose the well-lit passage ahead or the dim one to the left, among the garden rows? They'd had only a few concussion shells taken from Wraith's damaged starboard battery, and she hadn't been able to seed every possible route. As she'd hoped, they headed down the dimmer passage. They moved as she remembered her father's troops moving, cautious but swift. It was on the basis of that trained advance that she'd planted the shells where she had, and when they passed the marked point, the shells burst around them. Esme had the sound turned down, but they hadn't. They were flat on the deck, firing at nothing, and unable to hear anything but the racket they made and their own ringing ears. She was sure of that. The top level of T4 was too big for them to check thoroughly. She had counted on that, and on their reaction to resistance. From one position to another, they followed what seemed to be a retreating force of slightly lesser strength. They would be trying to pick up its communications through their helmets. Surely they would change channels until they found it. And what they heard would sound authentic. Esme had discovered that the 14th had its own drama club, its members eager to create and record a script full of dramatic conflict. It had multiple branches, just in case the enemy didn't follow the main plot line, and one of the communications techs cued the different segments while watching the vid scan to see what the intruders were really doing. She keyed to listen herself for a moment.
Hold them at deck 15. We can hold them if they don't come down that inboard ladder. Corporal Randall, cut off that ladder!
Here's the ammo, sir, but we're running out!
Sure enough, on the vid scan, the Bloodhorde had turned back, looking for and finding the inboard ladder. Poppers wired into sensors blew off as they started down. Smoke swirled. Fleet uniforms wrapped around bundles of insulation moved, fell, were dragged backwards. It would have been fun to watch, like being behind the scenes when an adventure cube was being taped, except that more than half the sites needed someone live on the scene to produce a realistic effect. The enemy didn't know which targets were live, but Esme did. She had argued at first for a less risky approach, dousing the intruders with that adhesive, if nothing else. But the capture of an enemy warship would be easier if it thought it was coming into a ship controlled by its own people. Ideally, they'd get to the base of the repair bay just as the ship came out of FTL flight. They'd find the lockers of EVA suits. They'd open the repair bay. It was all set up for automatic use, with new, and newly aged and scuffed, control panels and instructional labels. Esme switched to the secure link to the bridge. They had opened a T3 access hatch and fed an optical link through it. She knew the captain was alive but in critical condition, now in a regen tank in medical, which had been purged of the sleepy gas. The casualty count was rising as search teams found more and more bodies. Most were bodies, but a few had been wounded. Baron hadn't been found yet. A jolt, like stepping off a ledge in the dark, bumped her spine on the chair. She glanced at the clock.
An hour early?
Jump point exit. Cascadian system. Low V exit.
So they were where they'd expected to be, and in one piece. A low V exit meant scan would clear soon, and they'd know how much trouble they were in. Esme wondered what jump exit would have looked like from outside and shuddered. They could not have survived the whole trip outside, she was sure.
Prelim scan, 6. Say again, 6 Blood Horde ships. Weapons analysis follows.
Now where are the Blood Horde intruders?
Esme looked back at the vidscan, at Deck 10. Too far up. She wanted them able to contact their own ships, and for that they had to be at Deck 4.
Release! Release!
The communications tech nodded and switched to the final segment. Anguish, terror, harsh breathing, resistance melting away in panic. Predictably, the Blood Horde team followed, and although they came out into the repair bay control compartment with some remnant caution, they didn't hesitate long. They had made good use of their data wands. One pair went straight to the control centers, and the others to the EVA lockers. The communications tech put on the post-battle tape. If they kept listening, they'd hear individuals trying to find each other, trying to decide what to do, where to take the wounded. The two who could speak, or at least understand, the Blood Horde dialect, tuned in the output of the communications desk in the repair bay. What would they say to their ships? The Blood Horde ship looked nothing like the sleek black ovoids of the fleet.
Damn converted tramp hauler.
Esme agreed. Slightly larger than a fleet escort, and perhaps a third shorter than a patrol craft, its hull had a more angular outline suggesting its origin as a civilian freight carrier.
Part of that's bare metal.
Esme spotted the oblong patch, glinting dully in the repair bay's spotlights. The rest was probably the same organoceramic material that most ships used, its scarred, uneven coloring suggesting patches of different ages and origins. Along the flank, bright painted symbols that must mean something to the Blood Horde. Near the nose, rows of stylized eyes and jagged teeth. She shivered. The ship edged in, still untethered, but now in easy reach of the grapples. Someone nudged her. She followed the gesture to see tiny figures in EVA gear moving on the plates of Deck 1. That would be the Blood Horde intruders, come out to welcome their friends and let them aboard. One of them moved to the control board for the grapples on her side. Another stood at the controls for the other set of grapples. She could not see their hands on the controls, but she could see the result, the shift of the grapple heads as they moved into position, released from the heads and then impacted the ship. The sling buffer at the inboard end of the repair bay deployed, as if released by the grapples. They hoped the Blood Horde would think that. She watched the intruder at the grapple controls spin around and imagined his surprise. But nothing more happened. He made some hand signal to another of his team out of her sight, then turned back to the controls. The Blood Horde ship barely moved, drawn by the retracting grapples. Esme boosted the magnification on her scan and watched as the intruder pushed the grapple controls to maximum. She grinned through her tension. She'd thought they would do that. The plan would work anyway, but this was a bonus. The ship moved faster as all the grapples exerted full power. They must think the sling buffer would halt if it moved too fast, and it would, after jolting the passengers a bit. She watched in fascination as the ship moved slowly, inexorably, past the marked safety point, stretching out the grapples again, swinging like a ball on an elastic line. As if in automatic response, another buffer sling deployed, and another. The enemy ship rammed into them, nose first, stretched the first to its limit. One, two, bands ruptured and flung back across the bay.
Now, will they notice anything?
The second held, and the third barely deformed. The enemy ship shuddered, held by the buffer sling's adhesive coating and the taut grapples behind.
We did it! We got ourselves a warship!
And two problems. Take a look.
The second and third Blood Horde ships kept coming, now obviously aiming for the drive's test cradles. They should have thought of that. They'd assumed the Blood Horde would be cautious, would test with one ship until they were sure it was safe. Not their style. Of course they'd get in close with as many as possible, and with those small ships it was not hard to maneuver in close.
Now what, genius?
Esme stared, her mind rapidly turning over the possibilities.
We won't be able to get Wraith out now. We should have done that first.
Wraith, trapped in the repair bay, immobile, capable of blowing itself, but probably not the rest. Unless its self-immolation ignited the other's weaponry, was that good enough, the best she could hope for?
No.
She wasn't playing for any outcome but victory. Her terms.
We take them both. The ones on the test cradles. Then we get Wraith out, and the other Blood Horde ship if we can. It's actually better. Evens the odds.
But we don't have crews for that many, and they're not even our ships.
After the first panic had come a surge of exhilaration. She felt as if her mind was working at double speed.
Oh, yes, we do. We have thousands of the top experts on every ship system right here, right now.
Who?
Esme waved her hand, indicating both wings.
Think about it. Do you really think our people can't figure out the controls on Blood Horde ships? They're simple. Do you think our people can't offer effective resistance to Blood Horde troops if we turn them loose? I think they can. I think they will.
They had to. And it was better. Even if they just got two, the odds were almost even.
We'll have to scramble, though, to get two, no, three crews ready to board. They'll be down in less than an hour. Well, Lieutenant, I think I'll find another exec. You're going to have to take one of those ships yourself.
The most terrifying thing about it was that she didn't feel as scared as she should be.
Right. Which one?
The T3 Cradle, because I've already got a crew assembled here. Maybe Captain Seska can free some of his crew for you.
Esme was already thinking who she wanted.
Yes, sir.
Whoever gets control of a ship first takes group command. My advice, if you're first, is to get the thing off the cradle. Don't wait for me, and fire on the first ship you can locate.